This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, it's Ready, Set, Bet here on a Saturday. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich here with you for the next 4 hours. We got live NFL. We got bowl games. We have the contest show in hour number 4, where 9 entries are still alive going after the $18.7 million. Derek Stevens and Jeff Benson will join us here on the desk to discuss all of that. And Mike Somich has graced all of y'all with his presence again. He just taken off every holiday, every single time he can get out of town. He's just going to do that. But he is back in here on a Saturday and a Sunday. How you doing, buddy? Good to have you back.
I don't appreciate that. I was here last weekend. I'm here this weekend. You can complain all you want about the middle, but here we are. Happy to be here. Excited to be here. You just don't even mention the full slate of hockey. We've got the World Junior Championships going on the ice as well.
I know.
Just ignore it all.
Everyone is definitely worried about that out there. The person driving along right now. I can't believe Matt didn't mention the junior hockey.
I am sure there are a lot of very upset people out there.
Oh my gosh, we just saw the first miss by Dicker inside of 50 yards this whole season. Probably
short too, 32 yarder.
Probably not the greatest.
Kind of pushes it.
Probably not the greatest time for that to happen either, because you could have made it a one score game. But yeah, you just kind of hooked it around the pole as opposed to inside the pole. Look
at
that.
Neither of these teams deserve to score points in this second quarter. This was an absolute mess of a quarter. You saw the Chargers get down there, the tip interception. All of a sudden, the Texans think they have an offense after one 17-yard run. They decide to start throwing the football. They get picked off. Results in a field goal attempt here. A mess of a second quarter, Matt.
The AFC, we were talking about it before we came on air, and the AFC is going to get throttled in the Super Bowl, aren't they? I mean, like, none of these teams are any good. Like, I would take – is there a world that exists where we would take four NFC teams over before we would take an AFC team?
No, because the Buffalo Bills are still in the AFC and they have Josh Allen. And I think you are underplaying the value of just
because you would definitely take the Rams. You would definitely take the Seahawks. You would probably
I would take the Bills over the Seahawks.
Interesting. They're kind of the same team. It's like one's got Josh Allen and the other one's got a defense. And it's kind of like, you don't really know which, I don't know. It's kind of like, it's the same team, but different. If you know what I mean?
I will say this is the most wide open, like, because we're talking about the AFC, right? If you take out the Rams, I think we've both decided the Rams are the best team in football. If you take out the Rams, there's not that much in the NFC either. It's not like this is an incredible list of teams. Like, there are issues with the Seahawks. There are issues with the Eagles.
Well, the Eagles are playing better at the right time. Like, so we'll see. I mean, the Eagles are playing better at the right time, which is you'd rather them play better leading into the playoffs than play better like middle of the season.
Yeah, obviously you'd rather have them play better going toward the playoffs. But let's also remember the Eagles are playing better because the last 2 weeks they happened to get to play the Raiders and the Commanders, right? They lost to the Chargers, the Bears, and the Cowboys the 3 previous weeks. So let's not just say they're magically this good football team again. No, they had a very weak schedule and able to take advantage of that. Now the question, like this week against the Bills, are we going to see the good Eagles or not? I mean, that to me is a big part of the question marks of this NFL season.
And of course, we will run through each and every NFL game, give you all the bets in our accounts. We'll give you any leans. We'll give you any games we hate, player props, all of that. But we are at the half here, Texans and the Chargers. It is 14-3, Texans over the Chargers. Now, it's a little bit deceiving. It was two long, early pass plays and then nothing from the Texans. And the Chargers have this offensive line that you and I have beaten up since day one. We were beating this offensive line up before the season even started, and then now we get into the season and we get late in the season. Even more injuries have made it even worse. We've already got sacks by Hunter and Anderson in this game for the Texans. Justin Herbert sacked 3 times early on here, and we just kind of have a lot more of what we thought, right? Which is a really high-pressure team in the Houston Texans coming in and putting Justin Herbert under fire, a lot of dropbacks. And so, I mean, this is kind of played out to the handicap here, except for the fact that the Houston Texans have done absolutely nothing outside of 2 long pass plays.
Yeah, I mean, Stroud has 185 yards passing. He had a 75-yarder and a 43-yarder. So you take those two out, and all of a sudden, not great. Yeah. Not a great first half from C.J. Stroud, who also had two interceptions. The bigger issue here, neither team can run the football, Matt.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like every time they hand it off, you're getting like 2 yards in a cloud of dust, which means that you are setting up these third and long or third and medium situations behind really bad offensive lines. And that just allows the edges to be able to tee off on both of these teams. Stroud yet to take a sack, but still been under pressure multiple times. I played the under. I was a little upset after there were 14 points really early. I watched the rest of the two quarters. I'm like, you know what? I think the under is the right side. We'll see if the miracle points come or not, but the under does feel like the right side.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, you and I, not coaches, but we do sit back and analyze these things. And I understand that defenses can roll coverage and try to do different things to take guys out of the game, but it seems like a little bit of malpractice on the offensive side to at least not draw up some plays to try to get the ball to your best receiver. Nico Collins has one target, Mike, in the first half. And again, don't be satisfied that you landed a couple of long pass plays or something like that. I mean, I don't know. I didn't really get the Houston offense after those two pass plays. It seemed very disjointed to me.
Well, the L.A. Chargers told you to hold their beer because McConkey has zero targets through the first half. Yeah. So they're not trying to get their best wide receiver involved either. I agree with you. Look, it's just the Texans offense, it doesn't feel good. It's so clunky when you watch it. It feels like they need to get those big plays, those chunk plays to go down the field and be able to get points on the board. Normally it is Nico Collins who's able to get those chunk plays. This time it was the rookie wide receivers out of Iowa State and Higgins and Noel who are both able to get the job done. But there doesn't feel like the Texans can actually drive the football. Mm-hmm. When you watch them, you're like two, maybe three first downs is about the ceiling for this offense. If they don't get a big play inside that time, they're not going to be able to go down and get in the end zone.
Definitely a just kind of the story within the story as to how this the end of this first half went, where the most accurate kicker in the league misses a chippy, which would have made it a one score game with him getting the ball out of the, you know, out of the break here. But instead it's 14-3. 7.5 is your live line in favor of the Texans. 36.5 is the live total. And if you think the Chargers win this thing outright, plus 370. I mean, I couldn't get there. I couldn't tell you to get there, mainly because of just this offensive line. Again, Herbert only sacked three times, Mike, on paper, but like three other times just kind of had to roll out, throw it away, made some little Herbert-esque plays and stuff like that. I mean, he's just been really, really heavily pressured here. I just don't know if they will put together consistent scoring drives. So I couldn't talk you into a money line bet. Maybe a spread bet, but I don't think a money line bet.
No interest in the Chargers on the money line. The spread, I think it would be Chargers or pass for me.
Same.
This is normally a situation. I mean, we do Ready, Set, Bet every Sunday. Mm. We have those afternoon games. We sit there at halftime and we say, okay, there's a team that's down 14-3 that has a good quarterback. What wide receiver do we want props of, right? Because you know that the Chargers are going to have to throw the football majority of the second half, which means that you've got Keenan Allen, you've got Ladd McConkey. I'm not confident the offensive line can protect Herbert to the point that he's able to get the football to those guys. And so despite the fact that Ladd McConkey's number sitting at just 25.5, Keenan Allen's number sitting in the low 20s, like I'm not going to click the button. Those would be the two people I'd be looking at, but it's hard for me to want to click it considering Herbert also only has 2 yards rushing. Like the pressure is getting to him and forcing him backward, not forward, which means that he can't make plays by extending the play as well, which is another way he's been really successful. So it's tough for me to want to go to the window here. It would be under a pass for me. I don't see either of these offenses having a ton of success in the second half.
I have my eyes on that one as well. I played over 21.5 rushing yards for Justin Herbert in this game, thinking that he was going to be under pressure and he'd be able to take off. But the thing is, they're getting to him so quick, he didn't have time to go. Like there's no chance for him to go anywhere.
Well, and it's pressure at every level. Like Autry has a sack up the middle. You've got a sack by both the ends. It's not like he has the ability to just, you know, snake through a hole and be able to run. No, the middle is being pushed right back into his lap. The outside is collapsing on him. He doesn't really have anywhere to go, so he has to back up to be able to extend plays. When you're backing up, it's nearly impossible to then move forward and scramble unless you're an elite runner like Lamar Jackson when he's healthy, someone like that. And that's not Herbert's game.
Yeah,
Herbert's game is to be like a sneaky runner.
Yeah,
but he needs to step up in the pocket to be able to do so.
Both these quarterbacks with kind of fraudulent numbers here. So C.J. Stroud with 185 yards passing, but as you mentioned, a 75 and a 43 as part of that. Herbert has 123, but he has a 60 as part of that. So again, it's kind of like, take out the big gigantic chunk plays and you don't have much of offense here from either one of these teams in the first half. So We'll see what adjustments can be made here at half. Like I said, 7.5 right now on the live line. It is 36.5 on the total and plus 370 for the Chargers if you think that they can come all the way back in this one. We do have one more game today that we will break down, and that is Baltimore and Green Bay. Big news coming out there that Jordan Love is not going to play in that one. So this line has been all over the place all week long, Mike. This got as high as 5.5. It's been now it's all the way down to 2 here at Circa in favor of Green Bay. So betting the news has been a big, big issue here in the Baltimore Green Bay game.
Yeah, it has. And when it's interesting because a lot changed when we had those Christmas Day games, specifically for Green Bay. They're in the playoffs. Right? Like that to me was the big move why I still think Jordan Love clears concussion protocol and plays in this game had Detroit won that football game over on Thursday, because then this game is much more important for Green Bay. But now Green Bay sitting here and they're like, you know what? We don't need to win this football game anymore. Why are we going to jump in here? And that's why we've seen all this Green Bay money. That's why Malik Willis is going to play in this game. This is a really tough one too. I mean, I guess it's Baltimore money line for me at this point. But I don't really trust this Baltimore team. I am a little interested in Derrick Henry props as well. I'd like to get your take on what you expect from Henry in this game, as the rushing defense for the Packers has been deteriorating.
Yeah, we'll get all into that one. I'm with you. I think Love plays in this game for sure if they needed it. But since they don't, taking it a little
why bother?
Yeah, taking it a little safe, and as they should probably, you know, because it's a deal where they have been riddled with injuries already too, and don't want to do anything that you don't have to necessarily there in that one. We'll be kicking off the second half when we come back on the other side here, and again we'll start running through each and every NFL game on the week 17 slate.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Appreciate you guys being with us here, Channel 158, YouTube TV, our very own VSiN Watch app and terrestrial stations across this great country of ours. We have college bowl games going on as well today. We already have several in the books. East Carolina beat Pittsburgh 23-17 in the Go Bowling Military Bowl, and it's actually just a campaign to get people to go and actually bowl, Mike. So it's a bowling advocacy group. So there's.
I mean, I like it.
That was yes.
I enjoy bowling. Are you a bowler, Matt?
With the right amount of lubricant, sure. You know, like just give me 8 cocktails, sure. Let's do it. I'm down to bowl. Yeah. It's
you're an athletic dude. Bowling kind of comes naturally if you're an athletic dude.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna like embarrass myself or anything. You know, I put the little hook on it.
Do you really?
Yeah,
you're a spinner?
I put a little stank on it. Yeah,
I wouldn't have guessed that. Yeah. I just throw it as hard as I can, which I find fun.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Penn State beat Clemson to lock in a winning season for them. I know. Falls way short of this is the underachiever bowl. It's technically the bad boy mowers pinstripe bowl, but this is actually the underachiever bowl, Penn State and Clemson. But 22-10, they both finished the season 7-6. And move on with the rest of, just kind of move on into 2026, because this season was, go back and look at the preseason poll, guys, and take a look at where Penn State and Clemson were. And here they are playing in the bad boy mowers bowl. Yeah, underachievers.
Yeah, we have a saying in horse racing. When you get these allowance races of a bunch of horses that were supposed to be stakes caliber horses and never really lived up to it, we call it the Boulevard of Broken Dreams race. This was the Boulevard of Broken Dreams Bowl. Like these are two teams that were supposed to be in the playoff, and here they are playing in Yankee Stadium on December 27th. Not exactly where they were hoping to end their season.
Army 41-16 over UConn in the Wasabi Bowl. So Wasabi can afford, big Wasabi paying for the sponsorship there in that one. And then in the what has become the sweeping the internet, the phenomenon, which is the Pop-Tart Bowl. Georgia Tech and BYU, 21-10 right now, though BYU is in the red zone. And all the updates are just about the Pop-Tart mascots. That's it. Like, no one cares about the actual game itself, and everyone's just talking about the Pop-Tart mascots.
This is the beauty of the bowl system. Yeah. Like, this is fun. You got the Pop-Tarts at halftime in the different boxes, and then you can vote in the stadium for which Pop-Tart gets eaten at the end of the game. I mean, what more could you want from your football viewing experience?
This is true. As Justin Herbert comes out and is under pressure yet again, but does Herculean things to only throw an incomplete pass because it got dropped. Hit his guy right in the chest. But
four
dudes. Yeah.
All Gadsden again. He dropped that. He was the reason for the interception in the red zone.
Yeah. I mean, this should have been a sack, but Herbert doing Herbert things. There's one, two guys, three guys. Three guys he had to dodge, and then he still gets the pass off, and the guy drops it. Well, I guess it's a great play by the corner there. We also have Miami of Ohio and Fresno State, 9-3 at the half in the Snoop Dogg Bowl. So we've got that, the Snoop Dogg Bowl going on out there. And then North Texas, 7-6 over San Diego State in the Isleta? Is that what that is? What is Isleta? New Mexico.
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
See, this is...
It's always interesting with these bowls because, like, wasabi, it's not the spicy stuff you eat with sushi. It's an actual company that sponsors it. And, like, there's all these different interesting bowls that you have to look up the sponsors of because it really... Like, I don't know half of these countries.
The Isleta Resort and Casino. I didn't know casinos could sponsor bowls. There you go. The Isleta Resort and Casino there in New Mexico. So they are sponsoring that one. 7-6, North Texas over San Diego State.
What do you think it costs to sponsor a bowl game in New Mexico?
I mean, listen, we've seen these early bowls now. It's like nothing. I mean, seriously.
It can't be that much.
No. No, it's become nothing. Seriously, it's become...
Can we get a Ready, Set, Bet Bowl next year?
I mean, you know what?
They'll spring for it?
I know that, like, the Independence Bowl, which takes place in Shreveport, which I used to go to every single year whenever I was growing up, has had, like, 20 different sponsors over the last 25 years because just nobody wants to keep sponsoring. I'm pretty sure if we put in a call, we'd at least get a quote. We could at least get a quote.
The Ready, Set, Bet Vegas Bowl? Like, that would be good.
Now, I don't know if we can get the Las Vegas Bowl. We might get the one in Shreveport. We might be able to get that one. I mean, we're not going to get the Vegas
Bowl.
All
right.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do there. All right, guys. So, listen, yes, a bunch of football. And, of course, we'll keep you updated here on the NFL stuff as it continues. We are looking here and just kicked off in the third quarter. So, we'll let you know what's going on there with the Texans and the Chargers. But you know what? Guess what? We are looking here over on the ice, and Mike has got a couple bets for us.
Technical regulation size or what?
It's time to ask Mike Somich, what the f**k?
Don't you ever touch my puck?
Yeah, we're going to donate a little time here to the NHL. Of course, you can head over to VSiN.com whenever you want to and see the people that are doing this, you know, with like 20 different bets a day on all kinds of stuff here. But Mike likes to go in, get you a couple here, and we got a couple plus money. No, one plus money and one just short favorite, it looks like.
Yeah, we almost laid the goal and a half with the Wild, which is like plus 190. So we almost went with two plus money prices, but we ended up with just taking the money line instead of laying the goal there. We'll start out with that one. The Minnesota Wild heading up to Winnipeg to take on the Jets. This is a Minnesota Wild team that traded for Quinn Hughes a couple weeks ago. They all of a sudden look like a resurgent team. They ripped off a 7-game win streak before the break. They had a tough home and home against Colorado and the Oilers before heading into the holiday break. Now they come out of it. They head up to Winnipeg, a team that has not been playing well. I don't think the Wild are still properly priced in the market. This was a team that was very good when healthy last year. They dealt with some injuries early this year. Now they're starting to get healthy. They add Quinn Hughes. Their offense is going to just get better, and their goaltending has been surprisingly good so far this year. So we will lay the minus 115 with the Wild. If you want to go crazy, you can go minus a goal and a half, get as high as plus 190 out there in the market. I do think the Wild in a good spot tonight. And then the second game for us here, we're going to go to the Boston Bruins. And this is an interesting one. There's two teams going in different directions. The Boston Bruins have lost four straight. The Buffalo Sabres have won five in a row. I think the break was probably good for Boston, probably a negative here for the Sabres. We'll take the better team and get the plus money price here. Boston was playing well before that four-game slide. I think they're able to kind of regroup over the holiday break, be able to come out and play good hockey against what is a bad Buffalo Sabres team. So we'll take the Bruins plus 114 and the Wild minus 115 today, Matt.
Does Pastrnak still play for the Bruins?
He does.
Pasternak
pasta,
goal.
Baby.
Yeah. Pasternak goal then. There it is. Pasternak goal.
Yeah.
We're getting that.
He's leading the team with 14 goals right now.
Oh, see, look at that. I didn't even know he was good. Look at that. Let's do that. Pasternak goal. I'm writing it down. It's going in my account. Do I have time?
I'll get your price on Pasternak anytime goal. Just do a Pasternak anytime with the Bruins money line. I bet you get a decent price on it.
All right, let's do it. I'm in on that one. All right, guys. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks. It's official sponsor of tailgating right now. 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, absolutely free, plus 50% off site wide when you shop at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Spend $129 or more with your order. So they've got the steaks, they've got all the appetizers as well over there. So go in, 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, absolutely free, and you can save 50% off site wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN when you spend $129 or more. omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for additional details. I think that your under is safe. These offenses stink. Like, I mean, I think
we've already had 2 punts.
Did you just see that offensive sequence by the Texans? Oh my Lord. They are so bad.
They got fortunate. You got the strip on Schultz, and unfortunately for them, it goes out of bounds because that could have been a big problem there. It feels like the only way the Chargers put points on the board is if you see Texans turnovers.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of these deals too. And again, Nico Collins, I mean, I understand it was only one drive, but they didn't come out with a game plan to try to get him the ball out of the half, as he doesn't get targeted here yet again. We were talking as to like serious contenders and stuff. And, you know, I think the offensive line for the Chargers kind of removes them from real consideration as far as real contenders. And I think from the Houston side of things, you know, Mike, I mean, yes, the defense is elite, but boy, this offense, it's just, we saw half the season where they played like trash. Then we saw it, you know, half the season where they're at least trending in the right direction, but it was never good by any stretch of the imagination. And what we're seeing today looks a whole lot like what we saw in the first 10 weeks of the season.
Well, their offensive line has never been good, but they had continuity. Yeah. Everyone was, at least they had the same people game in and game out during that stretch where we saw them get better. They suffered some offensive line injuries last week. We lost that continuity. And this is the result of that. All of a sudden you're seeing just no protection for Stroud. You're not
you're
able to
Herbert
run the
go
football.
Down again. Again, like you're saying.
Yeah, well, he's got sacked again.
Yes. Yeah. You're seeing Herbert go down again.
And the funny part is that was one of the better times they protected him, too. The play on third down in the last drive, two guys literally olayed their blocks and were right in on him immediately. At least he had a little bit of time there. But I still think this Houston team is at least a legitimate contender because we don't have an A++++ team in the NFL this year. We don't have that great team. And the best unit, anytime Houston takes the field, will belong to the Houston Texans. Their defense is better than any offense right now in the NFL. It is better than any defense in the NFL. Is it good enough to win a Super Bowl with this offense? I don't know.
As
but at
Herbert
least you
goes
know you have
down
the best
again.
Unit when you're taking the field.
As we go to break, he goes down again. Oh, my goodness. Cash all your, like, team sack props. Like, this is already done here early in the second half as Herbert goes down again 2 times. On this drive. We'll keep you updated here, bowl games, and of course get into the NFL slate as well.
Welcome back to Ready Set Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready Set Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt and Mike with you. We watch Herbert go down on consecutive dropbacks, and then the punter punted it 22 yards, Mike. So the kicking game letting the Chargers down here in this one as Dicker misses his first career kick under 40 yards. He had never missed a kick under 40 yards. And then we come back from half, and the offensive line continues to be a sieve, and then the punter goes out and punts it 22 yards, which you and I could both I know this for a fact. We could both punt at 22 yards.
Oh, yeah, I could 100%. I might get hurt doing it, but I could definitely do it at least once. And then Nico Collins makes a play downfield, 25-yard gain. So the Texans into the red zone here in a game that feels like it could get out of hand pretty quickly, Matt, because I don't trust this Chargers offense to all of a sudden get it rolling.
No, I mean, these 5 sacks, too. Again, just as we were watching, this could easily be 8 sacks. I mean, he hits escaped. Yep. if he didn't have the escapability that he has, if that would have been Phillip Rivers back there or something, the guy that can't run out of sight in half an hour, like he'd be sacked 8 times in this game already.
Can't run out of sight in half an hour. That's a good one. Well, you have the tripping call. That would have been a sack if they didn't call the trip on Autry there.
So it'd be 6.
The play that we talked about where they had the 2 right up the middle and then he somehow evades them and then throws the football. That could have easily been another sack. I mean, it could be piling up at this point.
Okay, so we're getting the inactives for the
line.
Real quick, Mike, as it's coming through, just in case this affects anybody out there, if they want to change their bet or whatever. Zach Tom, which you would expect, considering, again, this game doesn't mean anything, he's not going to play. And then it will be Snoop Huntley, as we've all figured, but Lamar is officially out for this evening.
I think we all assume that.
Yeah.
I did look at in-game sack props. Get Will Anderson to get at least 0.25 of a sack the rest of the game at minus 130. Danielle Hunter, minus 115 for at least 0.25 of a sack for the rest of the game. Any interest in either of those sack props?
Do you want me to tell you why those are good bets? Is because the Texans are about to score again in some fashion. I mean, be it a field goal or a touchdown. So we will then officially move into the almost have to pass it every down territory. And when we move into the have to pass it every down territory, a defensive line like the Texans, that is not where you want to be. Although the Texans offense is going backwards.
They took a hold and it's just,
oh my gosh.
Free pass, loss of 4.
It's just like, I was like, and they're in field goal range as they go backwards. I'm like, oh, well, maybe they're not in field goal range after all. But yeah, I mean, I actually like both of those. Would they let you parlay that?
Yeah.
Can you do like an in-game same game, right? Can't you do that?
They will not let you parlay that
dang.
One.
Dang. That would have been a fun one.
So it's minus 115 for Danielle Hunter to get at least another. It's 0.25. He's got one. You need to get 1.25. So basically a half sack or more for Danielle Hunter, minus 115. Half sack or more for Will Anderson, minus 130 right now.
The Chargers, for whatever reason, I guess just were like, well, we're not going to give them the first down, but they made what would have been a very long field goal now into like a very makeable field goal by playing incredibly soft coverage. So I guess you give up one thing for the other, but they gave them a free 10 yards right there. And so now this is a sub 50-yard field goal where it would have been a 50-plus-yard field goal, 41-yarder as opposed to a 51-yarder. So, whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't get it.
Shouldn't make a difference with Fairbairn, one of the better kickers in the league, but obviously you'd prefer that they kick it from further away.
Yeah. The free 10, I mean, if you don't give them a free 5, I guess that's one thing, but it's like playing off 10 yards like they were right there is just seems egregious. Yeah. But it is up and good. So we're back to the 2-touchdown deficit here for this Charger squad that, like we said, I mean, the box score is minimally deceiving. Herbert has 130 yards passing, but 60 of it came on one play. To Quentin Johnston, he has been under constant duress, sacked 5 times already, would have been 6, but there was a trip called on it, and then he has escaped another 2, 3, 4 or something like that, Mike. So, yeah, it's going to be tough sledding for them to come back in this one.
It was going to be very tough sledding. Omarion Hampton, the running back, has 4 of the 11 completions, 0 completions right now to Keenan Allen or McConkey. So you have to figure out how you're going to get – you had the long pass to Quentin Johnston. That's great. You have a 3-headed monster there at wide receiver. You got to figure out how to get the 2 heads involved right now because that's the only way you're going to be able to move the football down the field.
Oh, McConkey doesn't even have a target, much less a catch. He didn't even have a target.
Yeah. Allen has 1 target. He dropped it on 3rd down. McConkey, 0 targets through almost 3/4 of this football game.
Yeah. This is, again, I mean, they're 11-4. I mean, I'm not like going to sit here and try to say they're a bad football team, but it's, we're at the point now in the season, Mike, where we're not necessarily assessing these teams like for this week as much as we are moving forward. And you start to see holes like this. And, you know, if they were to make it all the way, they're going to run into a good defensive line. I mean, this Chargers team is not going to be able to make it through the playoffs without running into a good defensive line. And so you can see where the obvious mismatch is here. And they don't seem to have an answer because you had to know coming into this game that this was going to be a problem. And they don't, at least so far, do not have an answer for said problem.
No, they don't. And you would, like the one positive in the AFC, there's really only 2 dominant defensive lines. this Houston team in Denver, right? Those would be very bad matchups for the Chargers.
Jacksonville's defensive line would like to enter the conversation, though.
I did. You love Jacksonville.
No. I mean, the numbers. The numbers are the numbers. I'm just saying, like, I mean, they would. Are you trying to say that defensive line wouldn't cause problem for the Chargers? I mean, come on. Yes, of course they
probably would. Yeah. They're not at the level of Denver or Houston, though.
Yeah. No. But it's enough to where you would have to, when you're handicapping that game, be like, okay, what's the over under on sacks for Herbert? Yeah. It's like, yeah. You're like, what's the over under on sacks for Herbert here? 3.5, you know, or something. Like, you'd literally be thinking that.
Yes, it is. It would definitely become into part of the handicap with that Jacksonville defensive line as well. But it's not, like, to me, this Houston team is probably the worst possible matchup for the Chargers inside the AFC. Maybe you could make an argument it's Denver. I think this Houston defensive line is significantly better than Denver's. I think they're more disruptive on the inside, and that the edges, I think, are better as well. And then you add in the layers in the secondary. It's not just Stingley Jr. out there. It's also Lassiter, and you've got Petrie. Like, it is a very, very good overall defense. This, to me, is the worst possible matchup for the Chargers if they do end up seeing each other in the playoffs. And we saw this last year in the playoffs where the Texans just laughed them out of the building last year.
Guys, it is, again, hour number 4. We will do the official reveal of the remaining survivor picks. Mike, it has gotten very, very interesting. There are 9 remaining. So 9 of the 10 do make it out of the Christmas Day slate, despite the fact that only 5 could play a favorite on Christmas Day. You almost lucked out that you didn't have the Lions available to you because you had to go with the Vikings, and 4 of the entries on the Vikings do survive there. That Lions team, man, that is just that. What a disappointment. I understand maybe the Ravens, I guess, if they get booted from the playoffs today or whatever, like, there's a short list of very disappointing teams, and I think the Lions are at least on that list.
Yeah, they're definitely. I think the Chiefs are atop it. I don't think we can say anything. Yeah. The Chiefs season has been by far the worst. They're atop that disappointing team list, but the Lions are right there. You're right, Baltimore. Even if Baltimore, like, wins today, they're still right up there on top of that disappointing teams list as well. I mean, those three really teams that were shorter priced teams to win the Super Bowl. 2 of them are out of the playoffs. A 3rd is looking unlikely to be able to make it.
As Herbert goes down again. So there is a flag.
Who was it? Oh, I think Anderson was offsides.
Okay. All right. So there is a flag. So maybe this will not stand. It is. Offsides. Okay. So this one will not stand. So they cheated. Cheating on the Texans. Can't do that. Will Anderson got a little bit of a head start there. Let's see. Oh, well, wow. Well, so if you're a tackle, you can do that. But if you're on the defense, you can't do that. Like, if you start the split second ahead of time, like, if you're a tackle, that's fine. You start a split second ahead of time on the defensive side, that's offsides.
You look at the replay, and it like, in real time, it looked like he was offsides. The replay looked like he just got a really good jump on that ball.
So I'm saying, if you're a tackle, that's fine. And apparently on the defensive side, that's not fine. But it didn't matter. They stuff him on the next down anyways. So, boy, they tried to run. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess you got to run in that situation because you can't throw. 3rd and 3, pretty big 3rd and 3, Mike. And I know of this, I don't want to try to put a nail in the coffin here on this team in the 3rd quarter, but 4 minutes, it's going to be 4 minutes left in the 3rd quarter, and you've done nothing on offense. You better convert this 3rd and 3 right here.
It is a very big 3rd and 3. And they do convert it, it looks like.
Herbert steps up in the pocket. Yes. Okay. So Herbert did step up.
Keenan Allen.
Yeah. Steps up in the pocket. Probably could have ran for it, but then I think he saw Keenan Allen and went ahead and just hit him with it. One of the rare instances where they didn't get any sort of pressure on him, actually. Oh, yeah. He could have run for it or thrown. Yeah. He had all kinds of options there.
I know we're about to go to break. Do you know how I knew that? I was looking at the live receiving yards totals, and Allen clicked the 13. And that was before the broadcast, before the ESPN, before anything. I'm like, wait a second. He had 0 a minute ago. How'd he get to 13?
There it is. So they do convert, and they're on the good side of the 50 here. So we'll see what they can do. Try to get some points on the board against this Houston defense that has just shut them down all day long. We'll get into the late game today when we come back. We'll be right back.
to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Chargers in the red zone. Herbert gets away with one as he nearly throws a pick, then had a defender holding onto his leg right there, Mike, who like full on just latched onto his leg and he just throws it without stepping. That was just all arm. We'll see. There's a flag on the play, so we'll see what that's all about. But 17-3, going to be holding on the defense. Declined because it was a catch.
That's a big flag not to be on the offense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure feels like the Chargers need to get in the end zone.
Yes, it definitely does, as we are at the one-minute mark of the third quarter. More pressure. Oh, wow. Back in the day, that would have been in the grasp. What are these defenders supposed to do? Like, because if you hit it – because if he'd have hit him right, man, that's just, because if you hit him high, then you're going to get flagged.
Tough.
See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because if he hits him high, he gets flagged. And so he gets him low, but he still has the capability to throw the, that's just tough, man. Playing defense is tough.
And then you kind of wonder about forward progress too.
Yeah.
Because he's not going anywhere. Like, because of the rules on hitting the quarterback, there's not much that he can do in that spot except just hold on and hope someone else comes in or they blow the whistle. But, nice completion by Herbert there. Sets up a first and goal. Now they're second and goal from the one here.
Yeah, so this is – they're going to be one more play before the end of the quarter. So we will know whether they get into the end zone here on second and goal in the third quarter. So they'll have a full quarter to try and get this – try to get this thing back rolling in the right direction. This drive, if you're wondering how they got down in the red zone, cashed a ticket, baby. We cashed a ticket wide open in the back of the end zone touchdown. So there we go. It's going to be a 7-point game, I assume. There's no way Dicker the kicker is going to miss this extra point. He already missed a 32-yarder. There's no way he's missing this extra point.
No, and they won't go for two. It's too early to do that as well, trying to cut a 14-point game down to 6 or 8. You know the math behind that, but it's usually deeper into the fourth quarter, not this early.
Yeah, a little bit. Usually a little bit deeper. Yeah, we're still in the third quarter here. So with that, extra point pending, 17-9. What we were saying, though, is Herbert with a big 28-yard scramble. And that really kind of got this team back from the dead because he felt pressure again on that play and took off and ends up getting the 28 yards. By the way, cashes all of our rushing props for Justin Herbert. So appreciate that, Justin. And now, touchdown game, 17-10. It is up and good by Dicker the kicker. So there we go, 7-point game. Texans offense has not looked good at all since the first couple of drives. So this is definitely still very much, very much up for grabs here for the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, two plays. The Texans offenses look good for two plays today. Yeah. And both of those, you could argue, were kind of blown coverages where the zone people kind of got sucked up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then you saw them take the top off the zone, both two long touchdowns, a 75-yarder and a 43-yarder. Both of those occurred in the first 5 minutes of the game. Not much offense from the Texans outside of those two plays. So we'll see if they can try and figure out how to get it re-kick started here as they get the football with a little bit of time left on third quarter, up 7. It feels like they have to figure out how to throw the football to Nico Collins, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, only two targets so far in the game. Got to get the ball to him. Got to take advantage of your mismatch. You've got one of the best receivers in the NFL. You need to take advantage of that. It's a 6.5-point live line, 37.5 on the total. And the Chargers back up to that plus 360 there on the money line. I actually think it's a little more interesting now than I did a little bit ago, now seeing that this Texans offense has not been able to move the ball at all, Mike. I mean, I don't think it's crazy. If somebody came to me and said, I want to put in a 360 on the Chargers, I would not talk you off of it.
No, I don't think it's crazy.
They win this game. They win this game one out of three times.
Yeah, I'm still not clicking the button, but I agree with you. I don't think it is. It doesn't feel as mispriced as it did earlier when this was a 14-point football game.
Yeah. So plus 360 there on the Chargers if you're looking for a fun plus money ticket out there. Okay. So we do have one more game coming this evening: Baltimore and Green Bay. This is down to 2.5 in favor of Green Bay at home. 37.5 to 38 is our total here in this one, as we talked about a little bit earlier. The news came through. Lamar is going to sit this one out in a must-win situation for this Baltimore Ravens team. It will be Snoop Huntley. We'll also be without Love in this one, and it will be Malik Willis going for the Green Bay Packers. Mike, I will say this. Green Bay does have an offense that is built for Malik Willis. Like, when he comes in, they don't just run the same stuff they run when all of their starters are out there. And so I actually kind of look at this, and I don't know if it's the worst thing in the world for this Packer squad that Malik Willis is starting this game, because they definitely have an offensive play set built around him.
The downgrade for both of these backups is not as drastic as in some starting quarterback, backup quarterback situations. And I think that the fact that Malik Willis started multiple games last year when Jordan Love was out kind of helped LaFleur tailor the offense to some of his strengths in those situations and allowed him to get the opportunity to coach with him as a starting quarterback. We saw that last week. I thought he came in, did a great job against Chicago Bears. Unfortunately, they ended up losing that game based on some wild stuff happening in the fourth quarter. But I thought that was not any way, shape, or form Malik Willis's fault. I thought he came out and played fairly well there. I agree with you. I don't think it's it's a downgrade. Let's be honest here. It's a 3-4 point downgrade, but it is not a situation where you're downgrading 6 or 7 points. You look at the other side, Lamar to Huntley, again, not a huge downgrade because of the skill set that Huntley has and the style of offense that they can run with him there at quarterback. So to me, neither of these teams, you'd rather have Love and Jackson. Don't get me wrong. But
sure,
at the same time, it's not like going from Mahomes to Minshew, right? It's not one of those drastic drop-offs. So I think it's still going to be a fun football game. I think that both of these quarterbacks can move the football. I'm a little tempted to actually go to the over here, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
The Green Bay defense is starting to get banged up. We talked about both these quarterbacks being able to run the offense. This hasn't been a very good Baltimore defense the entire season. This total has dropped because of the quarterback absences. I'm wondering if that is not the right move because we're missing both Love and Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, there's a 37.5 right now at FanDuel. You can get a flat 38 at actually at 110. You don't need to go to the juice 37.5. The 38 is fairly interesting because that is a total that is a massive downgrade to both of these quarterbacks, whereas I think we just laid the case out to where obviously you want your starters, but I don't think it's the end of the world that both of these guys are out there. And listen, Baltimore still, in theory, has something to play for here, and you have Green Bay that, while they don't, you got a backup quarterback who's going to be like balling out, because I mean, it's his chance to go out there and try and shine and all of that or whatever. Like, it would not surprise me at all if this game played into the 20s.
Yeah, I think this is one of those spots where the adjustment might be over adjustment here. And so that's why it'd be over a pass for me versus looking at the under here. I don't mind the Baltimore side either. This is a Green Bay team that is in the playoffs, not a ton to play for in this game. Josh Jacobs is going to be in there. He was taken off the injury report. We'll see how much Josh Jacobs we actually get. The loss of Tom matters very much for this offense. It's the defense that's kind of been piling up injuries on the Green Bay side as well over the last couple weeks. So for me, it'd be Baltimore pass over a pass. I do have a Baltimore ticket in, but it's at 3, so it's not really valuable now sitting here at 2, but I still would prefer the Ravens. I'd just go to the money line now that we're sitting at 2.
Yeah, I mean, looking here at some of these props again, it is – super low. And I mean, I know we can't really sit here and try and say what these quarterbacks are going to do. There is varying motivations and stuff. It's plus money on Malik on both of these quarterbacks to throw for 170 yards. Plus 103 for Malik Willis and plus 115 for Snoop Huntley to throw for 170 yards.
That's a pretty low number. That's a pretty low number. I took a little piece of Derrick Henry on a rushing prop as well. This is, again, banging the drum on this Packers defense, and specifically the run defense hasn't been great. We've seen injuries start to pile up for him. Derrick Henry sitting at 76.5 yards right now. I don't mind the over there. I think you could see a Derrick Henry 100-yard game here. That's plus 218 if you want to go that direction. This to me is one of those where, because the total has come down so precipitously, you're also sitting there with some good numbers from a prop perspective if you want to be aggressive on any of those. I think the Ravens try and run the football. Mm-hmm. I think then Huntley throws off of that. 170, not crazy. I think Willis will throw the football quite a bit in this game.
I would not
be surprised at all, especially with Josh Jacobs.
At plus money, 170, I think that'll be a fun one to put in the account. I think that's a good one if we're going to be sweating the game anyway. Probably going to throw that in the account. 170, he can get to 170. I'm pretty confident in that, as we watch CJ Stroud just huck one up and out of bounds. It's going to be third. And so, this game's not out of reach for the Chargers. especially when you have Justin Herbert at quarterback. Guys, VSiN's holiday special gives you VSiN Pro access through May the 1st for just $79. Go in every single thing we do. Daily best bet email that'll end up in your inbox. Bill, send it to you every single day. All the plays from the hosts and guests. You can also go to the picks page and see all of that stuff as well. We have articles breaking down stuff across the entire sports landscape each and every day. And of course, betting splits page, the AI prop projections, all of that. It comes with your pro subscription, VSiN.com/subscribe. $79 now until May the 1st.